in chapter number 2. Miss Carrie, do you want to sing a special? Well, we're so glad you're here, amen. I'm glad you had a... You done got me with that cane 3 times today. Y'all watch out for her. Hey, she's your neighbor, Mark. And he's a police. I'm going to sick him on you. Amen. 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 Second Thessalonians chapter number 2. We appreciate Miss Carrie, and we sure are praying for her and Brother Bernie, and we glad she got to be with us today, even if she does hit me with her cane every time she walks by me. Amen. Second Thessalonians 2, and y'all know she's joking. We're kidding up, cutting up. We like to do that, and I appreciate her. Amen. Well, if you got your Bibles in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, I'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Listen now. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, I love you this morning, and I thank you for loving us. And God, I come to you this morning, Lord, with a heavy heart once again for souls that don't know you. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you'd help us here for the next few minutes. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd give us ears to hear. And God, I pray you'd help me, your preacher. I pray you'd fill me with your spirit. And God, I pray you'd lead and guide and direct my lips and help me to say the words that, Lord, need to be said. And God, I pray you'd help me, Lord, to say just those things that you put on my heart. And God, Lord, I pray you would protect me from saying things that need not be said. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts and lives. I pray, God, you'd bring back to remembrance the things that, Lord, you've put in my heart throughout this week and in study. And God, I pray that, Lord, Holy Spirit, you take this word, and Lord, you'd work it in the hearts and the souls of the men, women, boys, and girls that are here this morning. I thank you for all you've done and all you're going to do now. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, Paul had written to the Thessalonians and he had told them about something that we call the rapture. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, he said, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel," and he said, "the trump of God." And he said, "The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." And so he had taught them about this thing called the rapture, the snatching away, the catching away. And let me say that on the prophetic calendar, if you will, as we look at the Word of God, and as we look at the events and the economy that God has for us, we see that the very next thing on God's time calendar for the church is called the rapture of the church. And I want you to understand that people say, well, the signs of the time are pointing. Can I help you this morning to understand that the signs of the time were for the nation of Israel, and the signs of the time are for the second coming when God comes back in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and sets up his kingdom. And that those signs of the time, we're already starting to see some of those things, but those signs are not signs of the rapture. Look up in here for a second. I want to help you. Those signs are for the second coming when Jesus literally comes and plants his foot on Mount Olives and he sets up his kingdom and he overthrows Antichrist. But before that happens, about 7 years before that happens, there's going to be an event on the calendar of God's prophetic calendar. There's going to be an event called the rapture of the church. And at the rapture of the church, there's going to be a trumpet sound. There's going to be a shout. And God's going to call all of his people out. He's going to call us to meet him in the clouds with him, and there we'll ever be with the Lord. But let me say, everybody ain't going in the rapture. A lot of people say, well, I can't wait till Jesus comes back. If you're not ready to go, that's not very wise words. Because I'm saying, if you don't know the Lord Jesus personally, you're not going away in the rapture. Everybody think, well, it's going to be great. It's going to be great for those that are ready, but for those that aren't ready, it's going to be bad news. And so Paul had wrote in 1 Thessalonians about this thing called the rapture. And he talked about, and all throughout the scripture, you can find that there's a promise of what's called the great tribulation or the tribulation period. And we understand Daniel talked about it. Isaiah talked about it. It's going to be a time of trouble like there's never been. And the Bible talks about it. It's the time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time when God is going to remove the church out at the rapture, and during the next 7 years, Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. I mean, y'all think Israel's in bad shape. Y'all turn on the news and Iran's after Israel. Everybody's after Israel. And if the United States don't watch out, they're going to be after Israel. I'm telling you, our leaders better wake up, look in the book, good neighbor. Hey, God's going to bless them that bless the nation of Israel, and he's going to curse them that curse the nation of Israel. You say, oh, preacher, that's Old Testament. That's old. Hey, it's worked for years, and it's going to keep on working. Hey, Israel's God's chosen people. You better watch how you treat Israel. That's all I got to say about that. And God's not done with Israel. See, he set them aside and he's got this church. He's got this program going on where now, since the day of Pentecost, he's saving Jews, Gentiles, blacks, whites, no matter what nation you come from. He's saving us all by grace and placing us into the body of Christ. That's called the church. But let me say, the church, hey, there's going to be a time when the last person, here's the sign you better look for the rapture, when the last person gets saved that makes up the body of Christ, and the body's complete, when the body's complete, it's time to go home. And that's all that needs to happen for the rapture of the church, is for the body to be complete. When that last person walks the aisle and gets saved, when that last person calls out to God for mercy and grace and asks for to be saved, hey, that last person gets saved, then all of a sudden that trumpet's going to sound. But everybody's not going. And Paul had, and they had seen, and now the Thessalonians, they'd seen and they'd heard about this tribulation. They'd heard about the troubles that was going to be coming upon them. And now they're starting to go through some times on this earth of tribulation. And they're wondering, have we done missed the rapture? That's what they were wondering. And Paul's writing back here in 2 Thessalonians. And he tells them in verse number 1 and 2, he says, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, when he comes back and the gathering together. He's talking about the rapture. He says, I beseech you by that. Then in verse 2, he says, that you be not soon shaken in mind nor troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. He said, look, I'm telling you, and he said, I want to comfort you. Don't be shaken. And then verse number 3, he says, let no man deceive you by any means. That day shall not come. He's talking about the day of the rapture. And then the day of the Lord that is ushered in at the rapture, what is what called the tribulation, the day of the Lord's going to start. And when the day of the Lord starts, it's the tribulation that's going to wreak havoc all over this earth. You can go back and read it in Revelation chapter number 6 through 19. You'll see what's going to happen on this earth after the rapture. When the church is removed and taken to heaven, what's going to happen, preacher? What's going to happen on this earth if I'm left behind? Read Revelation 6 through 19. You'll find out. And let me just say, it ain't good. You don't want to be here. And so here he is, and he's giving them some assurance that the rapture has not taken place yet. And he says, that day shall not come except there come a falling away. And that word is the apostasy. And some people would refer that to the apostasy of the faith, people falling away from the faith, such as Paul talked about in 1 Timothy 3, and then, or 2 Timothy 3, and then he says, and that man of sin be revealed. That is the son of perdition, and that is the Antichrist. That's who he's talking about. And so he says, you know that the tribulation isn't going to take place yet because the rapture hasn't taken place yet. And if the rapture takes place, you're not going to see the rapture. You're going to know the rapture hasn't taken place yet unless you first see an apostasy and you see the man of sin being revealed. And that is the Antichrist. When he steps on the scene and he signs a contract, if you will, a peace treaty with the nation of Israel, then you'll know, boom, that's the kickoff for the tribulation here on earth. And I want you to understand this morning, but I'm giving you some background to get to the message. I want us to look, and he says in verse number 8, and then, he's talking about when the wicked, he said, then shall that wicked, do y'all understand that wicked? Y'all see that in your Bible? That wicked is capitalized W. Y'all see that? It's talking about a person. It's not talking about wicked just in sin. It's talking about that wicked. He's talking about that wicked one. He's talking about the Antichrist. He's talking about the man of sin. He's talking about the son of perdition. Then, he said, after the rapture, after the removal of the power of the Holy Spirit and the influence of the Holy Spirit through the removal of the church, then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with brightness. And so you understand that there's coming a day when God's going to destroy the Antichrist, but the Antichrist is going to be revealed on planet Earth after the rapture of the church. Y'all understand that? It's very important that you understand where we're going this morning. And verse number 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. So we understand when the Antichrist does step on the scene, he's going to have some power. He's going to have some influence. The Bible talks about how he's going to be able to do signs. He's going to be able to do wonders. He's going to be deceiving people. He's going to have all deceivableness. In verse number 10, he says, with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. Now, I want you to see that word there, that phrase, in them that perish. And then I want you to look down in verse number 12, and it says that they all might be damned. And this is what I want to preach this morning on left behind. Left behind. Or I thought about this title. How to make reservations for the tribulation and the lake of fire. I mean, how can you guarantee that you're going to be left behind? What's going to happen? Who's going to be left behind? And how can I guarantee that I don't go up in the rapture? How can I make good and sure? Now, I understand nobody. If you understand the events of the tribulation, man, I'm telling you, I don't have time to go into all of it, but I'm talking about there's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors of wars. You think about, we've got wars going on, little battles going on over in the Middle East. You've got catastrophes. You've got things like a couple years ago, we had Katrina. We had 9/11. We had natural disasters. We had man-made disasters. We've got all kinds of different things. We got riots just this week. We had school shootings. Can you imagine? We've got a few of them, but can you imagine when there's catastrophes going on in every city? I mean, could you imagine if there was wars going on all over the Mideast? Could you imagine if there's always going on earthquakes and tornadoes? Could you imagine? They don't have enough National Guard to go everywhere. And I'm telling you, I can't even begin to describe to you what the Word of God says the tribulation's going to be like. I'm talking about, man, animals coming out of hell, demon-possessed things, and torturing people. And it talks about people are going to want to jump from the rocks, and they're going to try to kill themselves, but they won't be able to die. Right. Right. And the economy's going to crash. You say, well, I'll just buy me a nice house. No, the economy's going to crash, and the Bible talks about a piece of bread's going to buy a bag of gold. Now, when you think about gold, and everybody wants to buy gold, when you think about that gold is going to be so worthless that somebody will give you a piece of bread for a bag of gold. You say, well, preacher, is there, I don't know. I'm not here setting dates. I'm not telling you it's going to happen this week or next year. But I'm telling you, hey, one of these days the economy is going to crash and it ain't coming back. But then there's this man's going to step up. And across the world, we're not just talking about one nation, but across the world, there's a man going to step up and say, hey, I got all the answers. Sounds like somebody I know. But he says, I got all the answers. Great. And people are going to believe him because of the signs and the wonders and the things that he does. And people are going to be like, wow, look at what he's done. Look at him. And people are going to follow him. And the Bible says they're going to believe a lie. I want you to look at what happens. Who's going to be left behind? How can I sign up for this reservation? What can I do, preacher, to guarantee that I go into this tribulation, preacher? You understand that the tribulation period, I'm talking about the economy is going to be so bad that the Bible talks about how they're going to have to take a mark. Sit up, young man. Hey, the Bible says they're going to have to sit up. Listen now. The Bible says they're going to have to take a mark in their forehead or in their arm or on their wrist somewhere right in there, on the palm of their hand somewhere. And they're going to have to take a mark. It's called the mark of the beast, even to buy or to sell or to make any kind of transactions. In other words, you're not going to get anything unless he says you can have it. You with me? I'm talking about a day that's coming. You say, oh, preacher, that's just fair. No, that's not fairy tale. That's the word of God. And this time somebody gets back to preaching, it's somebody time, you know, we talk about death and we talk about, man, you better be ready to die. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And surely we talk about death. And when say, you better be saved, you better be ready. And there's people says, well, those people says, Blake, I'll get saved when I get old. Those people say, well, I'll get saved when I'm 58 or I'm 70. You know, I'm not old yet. But I'll live my life. I'll have my fun. I'll do what I want to do. And I'll get saved, you know, when I get old and I'm start getting, you know, when I get cancer and they start putting it off. We know I'm healthy now and I'll get saved later. Let me help you out. You might not go by way of death. This rapture might, hey, I don't know what the trumpet's going to sound like, but the trumpet could sound and you won't hear it. God's going to call his church out, and you might be sitting in church, and there might be a few people left around, but there's going to be some people taken out. There's going to be people, they just ain't here, and you're going to be wondering where they are, and this old Antichrist, he's going to step on the scene, he's going to try to explain to you, he's going to try to tell you where everybody went, he's going to try to tell you, you know, something, and he's going to have some stories to explain it away. But I can tell you what you do. I'm going to tell you what you do. I'm going to help you out. The tribulation is going to be so bad. I'm going to try to wind this thing up real quick. The tribulation is going to be so bad that if you miss the rapture, I'm going to give you some survival instructions, Chad. The best thing somebody can do that misses the rapture, the best thing they can do is run down to the government office just as fast as they can and tell them, say, I want the mark. I mean, I want it in my forehead. I want it in my hand. That's the best. That'll make life a whole lot easier on you if you miss the rapture. Because you're going to hell. You're going to the lake of fire. I mean, it's just a short. But that'll make it easy on you while you're here, as easy as it could be. Because if you're sitting, if I understand the word of God, what we're going to preach here in just a second, I'm laying a lot of groundwork. Give you a long introduction, short message. If I understand the word of God, if you're sitting here this morning, you hear the gospel preached, you know that Jesus Christ loves you, that he died for you, that he gave his life for you, and he died for your sins. And you reject him willfully and say, nope, I don't need that. When the rapture takes place, you're done. There is no second chance. People, I watched this movie one time, preacher, and it was preachers getting saved. I'm going to just say that might make a good movie, but that ain't true. They didn't get that out of the Bible. That was a man-made figment of their imagination or something. A preacher that stands in the pulpit, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, and never trusts Christ personally, he's going to hell. And anybody else that has heard the gospel, they have turned away the truth. I want you to notice some things about these people. I'm talking about, you know, a lot of times we think that like people can live a wicked life. They can live like they want to, live like a junkyard dog. You know, they can run, cheat, swear, smoke, chew, drink, do run with all those that do, you know, and have no regards to God, no regards to the word of God, don't care about church. But when they die, well, they're in a better place. But when's the last time you went to a funeral and you heard somebody say, well, it's sad to say, but by the life they lived, they probably went to hell. When's the last time y'all heard that? You ain't going to hear it. It's all watered down. It's all mushed over. And, well, they're in a better place. Well, the truth of the matter of fact, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the truth of the matter is everybody don't go to heaven when they die. And everybody ain't going in the rapture. And everybody don't go to a better place. And the truth of the matter is, we like to think that, you know, at death, all of a sudden that person's changed. Well, I'm going to tell you what death does, or this rapture, it seals the destiny of those and the choices they've already made. That's what it does. You're locked in. There'll be no second chances. And these people will be destined to delusionment, they'll be destined to destruction, and they'll be destined to damnation. You say, preacher, where do you get that? Well, if you look in verse number 10, he says, them that perish. That word perish has the idea of destruction. And then verse number 11, he says, God shall send them strong delusion. That word means they're going to be deceived. They ain't going to be able to understand the truth and believe the truth. They're going to have a strong deceiving power upon them, a delusion, that they'll believe a lie. And then he says in verse number 12 that they all might be damned. So we see destruction promised to them, delusion promised to them, and we see damnation promised to them. Now we understand that the tribulation's coming. We understand that the rapture's coming before the tribulation. But what about these people? What is it, preacher? How do they miss the rapture? What do they do in this lifetime that's going to be sealed at the moment of the rapture, and that when the tribulation takes place, how will they know they're going to be there? Well, I want you to look, number one, and I want you to see something about their availability. In verse number 10, the Bible says, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, watch this, because, why? Because, why is the Antichrist coming upon them, preacher? Why are they in the tribulation getting deceived? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You understand? The truth, the love of the truth was available to them. You're sitting here this morning, you're in what we call the age of grace, or the day of grace. God is extending his grace your way. We quote the scripture, for God so loved the world. John 3:16, y'all have all heard it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so you understand that in the day in which we live, God's love has been extended. Verse Romans 5:8. But God commendeth, he demonstrated, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And so this morning we're sitting here, we're in what we call the age of grace, the time of grace. And right now is your chance to be a receiver of, and to accept, and to receive, and to make good of the love of the truth. You notice he didn't just say that they received not the loving truth. He said the love of the truth. And what is truth? Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so we understand that when he's talking about the love of the truth, he's talking about none other than the love of God, the love of Christ. And now, in this age, right now, while they have a chance, they have a chance, they hear the gospel, they understand, and they know that God loves them. They hear that, and they laugh at it. They're not going to receive it. But the Bible says in verse number 10 that they received not the love of truth. They willfully rejected Christ's love. The Bible says that they might be saved. If they would have received the love of the truth, they could have been saved. But they refused to be saved, and they did not receive the gospel. They did not receive this love, but rather they willfully, knowingly rejected. I mean, like they sat in church and they heard a preacher preaching, you know, God loves you. You're a sinner. You're going to hell. You're going to be left behind. You're going to go to the tribulation period if the rapture takes place and you're not saved. But God loves you, and he loves you enough to save you. If you'll give your life to him, you'll repent of your sins, and you'll trust Christ and Christ alone. And the preacher screams and yells and tells him. But they say, no, not today. And they receive not the love. And God shows them over and over and over and over again through the workings around them, through the word of God, through people ministering to them and trying to speak to them. And God shows them, and he reaches out to them, and he shows them how much he loved them, and he showed them on Calvary. And he loved them this much, and he died for them. Y'all probably seen this happen. It happens occasionally that a parent will raise a child, and then that child will get up maybe in their teenage or their early adult years, and they'll begin to resent their parent. They'll have a problem, and then that child, I mean, they reject their parent. They don't want nothing to do with their parent. They won't listen to their, they won't go to their parent's house. And that parent continues, man, they got that mama, she's got a heart for them. She pours out her heart. She buys them gifts. She does things for them. She tries. And then that individual just turns their back and says, no, I don't want it. I don't, they may not say that verbally, but by their actions, they spit in mama's face. They spit in daddy's face. Y'all experienced something like that? Y'all seen it? That's kind of what you got here. God pouring out his love to mankind that has already sinned. Man has broken God's heart.
Man has fallen in sin and depravity, and they're separated from God. But God says, hey, I love you. I love you so much. I sent my son Jesus. I sent my best. I sent my only begotten son. I sent him to die for you. And people say, no, I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. And I'm going to show you something. Their availability, they were availed. It was available. The word of God and the love of God, they could have had it. But they said, no, we're not going to receive that. We don't need that love. But watch something else. I want to see not only their availability, notice something about their ability. Notice in verse number 12. Verse number 12 says that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. Now the first description he gives was that they received not the love of the truth, but now he says that they believed not the truth. And we see here not only a willful rejection of the love, but now we see that if you don't receive the love of God, it will lead to you rejecting the offer of God. And they rejected the truth so that they in turn will sooner or later believe a lie. Look at verse number 12 says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth. But if you go back to verse number 11, he says, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. He said, I'm going to send delusion upon them, a deceivableness. I'm going to send a power, a spirit that controls their mind and just gives them over to what we call a reprobate mind. If you listen in Romans chapter number 1, in verse number 18, the Bible says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So in Romans chapter 1, he's saying people can see through that which is created. You can go out there and understand that there is a God. You don't understand all about his program. You don't understand that Jesus died for you just by looking at the trees. But you can look at the trees and the oceans and understand there has to be a God. And he says in verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I mean, we got a lot of people like that today. They think they're professors with a PhD. They think that they can explain the Bible away. They can explain everything away. But the Bible says they professed themselves to be wise and became fools. Verse number 24 and 25 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through their lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. They changed the truth of God into a lie. Here we have Paul talking about them in 2 Thessalonians. And he says they believe not the truth, but talking about how Antichrist is going to deceive them. They're going to have a delusion on it, and they're going to believe a lie. If you don't believe the truth, you will swallow a lie. They didn't believe the truth. And so they not only did they not believe it, but Paul said in Romans that they changed it and traded it in for a lie. Exchange, you know, like we don't want to believe that in the beginning God created, because if in the beginning God created, then I'm responsible to God. Because he's sovereign over my affairs, and I'll have to look at him as my judge one day. But I don't want to do that, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to make up a theory and call it evolution and say that the Bible ain't true, but that we all came from monkeys. You know, once I was a tadpole long and thin, and then I was a turtle with my tail tucked in, and then I was a monkey hanging from a tree, and now I'm a professor with a PhD. And we laugh, and that's kind of funny, but we think about that. That's exactly what academia is doing. That's exactly what our educational and this humanistic system is trying to do to people. And they're trying to warp the thinking of people. And they get young people to think that they weren't created, but they just evolved. And if you're just evolved, that means you're not wonderfully and fearfully made. And that means that there's not a creator over you. So you're not responsible to any way, anybody. Just go on out. Please yourself. Live life as you will. If it feels good, do it. You don't have to give a record to anybody for anything. Because when you die, you're just going back to the ground because you're just dirt, just like a tadpole. They changed the truth of God into a lie. They didn't believe the truth. The Bible says because of this, they might be damned. Preacher, we're not supposed to talk like that. Hey, if you're going to run down a road and there's a bridge out over a 50-foot gully, do you not want somebody to stand up and wave their arms and say, don't go across, the bridge is broke, don't try it. The bridge, would you not appreciate that? And that's what a preacher does when he stands up with the word of God and he cries aloud and he spares not. And he says, thus saith the Lord, hey, there's a hell to shun. There's a heaven to gain. Don't go that way. Don't go the world's way. Run from that. Turn to Jesus. Trust Jesus. Call on Jesus. Preacher, you shouldn't talk about damnation. If somebody don't warn people they're going to be damned, they won't see the need for ever trusting Christ. And he says they believe not the truth. They willfully rejected the truth and they changed the truth. Because see, all the way back in the Garden of Eden, man's got this thing called pride. Y'all know Satan come to him in the form of a serpent, come to Adam and Eve and said, God knows in the day you eat, you're going to become like God. You know, that's what the serpent told Eve. Y'all going to become like God. And so ever since then, man's been fighting this thing called pride. Pride's what got Lucifer kicked out of heaven to start with. And so he's trying to pass it off on the human beings, on men, women. And ever since Eden, hey, we've been battling pride. And so man thinks that now, you know, man's thinking is that I can get myself better. I can turn over a new leaf. I can do better. I can reform myself. I can. That's religion. Religion says, I'm going to do. Religion says, I'm putting this into play. Religion says, I joined the church. Religion says, I got baptized. Religion says, really? But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You don't need religion this morning. What you need is a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to believe the truth. But pride gets in the way. Well, I can do it my way. You know, like, was it Frank Sinatra? He did it his way. And that's the way a lot of people try to live their life. And they think that I'm going to do it my way, and God's going to understand at the end because I'm in it. I was sincere. I want to remind you, you can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. There's a lot of people that's going to do a lot of good things. We read about them last week in Matthew chapter number 7. And they're going to say, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy? Did we not cast out devils? Did we not do many wonderful works in thy name? And then he said, I'm going to profess to them, hey, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. It's not about what you do. It's about who you know. They believe not the truth. So number one, they didn't receive the love. And number two, they believe not the truth. Pride got in the way. You know, well, I can't walk that aisle. You know what people would think of me. I can't trust Christ. I can't tell nobody I'm a sinner. You know, because like you'd be the only one in the world that ever was a sinner, right? No, everybody's a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And nobody's getting saved until they admit that they are a sinner. I'll just repeat that. Nobody gets saved until they admit that they are a sinner. That's the only kind of person that God can save is one that realizes they're lost. But they believe not the truth. And so we see here their availability. We see their ability. But now watch their approval. Here, and I'll give this to you in a hurry. Verse number 12. It says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but, watch this, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Now wait a minute. They didn't receive love of the truth. They wouldn't believe the truth, but now we see something about their pleasure, their approval. That word approval, it has the idea of to think well of or to approve or to take delight in. And so we see that what they approved was unrighteousness. The idea is to delight or to approve. Here it is. They loved sin. They didn't receive the love. They didn't believe the truth because they loved sin. Can I help you out? I want to repeat it to you. If you love sin in this life and you live, hey, like the world and you live like a sinner and you do not choose Christ, death is not going to change your direction. It's going to seal your destiny. The rapture, the Bible says after the rapture, this Antichrist is going to come and God's going to send a strong delusion so that they believe a lie. And they believe a lie because they did not believe the truth, but they loved unrighteousness. Well, they didn't find pleasure in God. They didn't find pleasure in God's word. They didn't find pleasure in God's way, but rather iniquity and unrighteousness and wickedness was what they found their joy in. Romans chapter 1 again. I'll go back and read verses 28 through 32. Paul talking about these people that God gave up. He says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but watch this, but have pleasure in them that do them. You understand that Paul says here in Romans 8, he gives a whole list of wicked things. And he says those that are going to be judged by God are not only those that do them, but those that have pleasure in them that do them. I wonder this morning, do you have a holy hatred for sin? I mean, what God breaks, what breaks God's heart? What God looks at and it just breaks his heart. The reason God put his own son on a cross was for S-I-N. Sin, unrighteousness, wickedness, iniquity. The Bible says these people, they didn't receive the truth, they didn't believe the truth, and they had pleasure in sin. They'd rather live it up, preacher. We'd rather have a good time. We'd rather do our own thing right now, and we'll take care of it later. They love sin more than the Savior. I mean, there's no way to get around it. They choose sin over the Savior. They would rather have their life, do it their way. We could go on a whole gamut of sin. We could talk about alcohol. We could talk about adultery. We could talk about drugs. We could talk about fornication. We could talk about adultery. We could talk about, you know, all kinds of stuff. We could go down homosexuality. We could go, abortion. We could go on and on. We could make a list a mile long, you know. But, you know, he also threw backbiting in there and blasphemers and disobedient to parents and all that in Romans chapter 1. So we got to be careful making lists. But here's the list. Anything that misses the mark of God. And they loved that. The Bible says they had pleasure in unrighteousness. And can I say to you this morning that if you've been offered the love, if you're sitting here this morning, you've been offered the love. The love is available. The love of God, the love of the truth is available to you. The truth is available. You can believe it. It's up to you whether you're going to believe it. And they didn't believe it. And on top of that, they had pleasure in unrighteousness. They loved sin. Preacher, I'd get saved, but, you know, I got too much going on right now. I got, you know, I got me and my boys. We got to have fun. But it's always something. They love sin more than the Savior. Nuts and bolts, that's it. They love sin more than the Savior. Can I say to you that if that's your lifestyle, you don't receive the love of the truth, you don't believe the truth, and you don't get rid of the pleasures of sin, and you don't quit loving them and finding pleasure in what breaks God's heart. The Bible says there's coming a day when the Antichrist is going to be revealed and he's going to be deceiving people And on top of that, God's going to send a great delusion so that you believe the lie of the Antichrist. And when he comes, and in the middle of the tribulation period, he sets himself up in the temple and his abomination of desolation, but he sets himself up as God and demands worship. These people that we're talking about, they're going to worship the man of sin, the Antichrist. They're going to worship him in place of the real Christ. Because right now, while they have the opportunity to trust Christ, they say, nah, not for me. Not for me. Now, I ain't got time. I'll do it later. But I'm telling you, when the rapture takes place, you can't change your mind. You've heard the truth. There's coming a strong delusion. If you miss the rapture and you're not saved, I'm telling you, if you miss the rapture and you're left behind, you are destined to destruction, to delusionment, and to damnation. There's no getting around it. And you won't go and say this preacher didn't warn you. You won't go and say God didn't give you a word. You won't go and say God never told me. You won't go. But I got good news for you. Verse number 13. I'll read verse 13. Paul said, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation. God has chosen that people would be saved. He's put his vote in for you. He did it at the cross of Calvary. Hey, Jesus, the Bible said he's the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And God chooses for you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, Brother Wayne, but that all should come to repentance. How do you get saved? Through sanctification of the Spirit. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, regenerating the heart, and belief of the truth. That is God's sovereignty and man's responsibility meshed in one. God's sovereign. He's got a Holy Spirit that he sent to work on your heart. He sent you the Word of God. You hear the Word. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You hear the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. He's working in your heart. He's trying to work in your heart. That's God's side, but your side is through the belief of the truth. You've got a chance today. You can receive it, the love, you can believe the truth, and you can turn from sin. Or you can reject the love, not believe the truth, and keep on loving sin. But I promise you, if you do that, you wait too late. Your destiny is determined. Father, in Jesus' name, God, I pray you'd speak to hearts today. God, I pray you'd have your will and way and all that's said and done. I pray this invitation. God, I pray you'd speak to hearts. God, I pray you'd save souls. God, I pray that person here this morning that don't know Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray you'd help them to see that they can believe the truth today. God, have your will and way today, and we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed all across the auditorium.